Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We need to talk about Bill Walton. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
What inning is this?
It's the seventh inning.
How many innings do they play?
Still nine.
Yeah, and you get to stretch after this.
Take me out to the ball game.
That's it.
Take me out to the crowd.
Welcome back in. I am so happy that we get the opportunity to talk with my next guest because he's made a lot of news since it was announced that he's going to be calling games with Bill Walton. White Sox games with Bill Walton. It's tonight. Tonight, they're going to do it. Jason Benetti is the fine play-by-play man for your Chicago White Sox, and he joins me on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford for you to choose from. Hello, Mr. Benetti.
Lawrence, I feel like the gift that I want to give you is Bill Walton talking about Alpamonte Ford. I now hear things, and I think, boy, it'd be fun to hear Bill riff about that.
I would enjoy him doing that, and I am one of the people that is very much looking forward to this, and we got a taste of it last Saturday. So let's start at the beginning. How did this happen? Because here's my theory. My theory was is that you knew that Stoney was going to have the Angels series off, and they said to you, Jason, who would you like to work with? And then you flippantly said, well, how about Bill Walton? Thinking they never say yes to that. And then Bob Grimm and Jerry Reinsdorf were like, yeah, that'd be fine. And now there's Bill Walton. Is that how it happened?
So it's actually less insidious on my part than that. And how it happened was a lot of Sox people watched Maui when Bill and I worked together, and they thought we had fun, and we did. And, well, I speak for myself, I did. It seems like Bill did because he's coming back for more. So what ended up happening was our video coordinator for the Sox, Brian Johnson, who's in the replay room working with the TV and the video, and he edits the video for the coaches, he's the guy who said to me first at the beginning of the year, how cool would it be if we could get Bill Walton to do a game? And I was like, oh, yeah, that'd be funny. And then we moved on from there. And then it just so happened the second series of the year, ESPN did the Cleveland game one, I think. And we were in the hotel restaurant, and all of us kind of got together. The producer for ESPN, Tim Sullivan, happened to be the producer for us for Maui as well. So then a couple Sox people and I and Sully started talking. And we were like, hey, you know, maybe plant a seed with Bill just to see if he would ever do it. Not for knowing that Steve was taking those games off, because we had no idea. Then Steve ended up taking off the two in Washington the first half of the year. So in order to get to his six, he needed to take a four-game series off. So he ends up taking off the four games from Anaheim, and Brooks Boyer was like, hey, if we're going to think about maybe Walton, why don't we just get a couple celebrities as well? And maybe you do one solo, like who knows what happens. But it ended up being just me emailing Bill, and he said, sure. And I was like, oh, okay, like this is actually happening. So it actually came from a number of different angles within the Sox. And Bob Grimm, you mentioned Bob Grimm. He has been awesome working with Bill, getting him up to speed. Bill's grandson is actually having his birthday party at Angel Stadium tonight. So he's got a suite. He's got a ton of family there. And it ended up working out perfectly.
What's it like to work with Bill Walton?
So I was just thinking about this a little while ago, talking to somebody else. It strikes me, the best way I can describe it is, it's like hanging out with an encyclopedia, which isn't in alphabetical order and isn't in English all the time.
And is out of sorts, like from page to page, too.
Right. Like you flip a page and there's just a picture of a pizza. And then you flip a page and it's Waterloo.
And it's the ABBA song Waterloo too, not just actually Waterloo.
Right. Right. No. And then the winner takes it all comes out of the book. Like I don't, who knows?
It's so fun to watch you guys interact, and I feel like I'm in on the bit. Like as a viewer, like I feel like I'm in on it, and I know that from my experience of watching last Saturday with Ozzy and Frank, I had to kind of explain to them Bill. And I told them, I said, look, I was at the Final Four a few years ago. I interviewed Bill Walton. The interview was 20 minutes. I asked two questions. One of the questions was, how are you?
So I walked by Ozzy in the hallway at the ballpark the other day. And I said, hey, what do you think of Bill Walton? He goes, oh, that guy crazy. And I was like, you said he's crazy? That means he's really crazy. But the thing is, Ozzy then said, but I'm going to watch. And it's not one of those like, oh, I hate him as a person, so I'm going to watch. People may dislike the banter sometimes. There's a group of people who absolutely won't get it and won't like it. And like, I profusely apologize to them for one night of their lives that I've absolutely ruined and we've all absolutely ruined. And my goodness, how could we ever do that? But it's also 162 games, and there's something different that happens at every baseball game on the field. And this is the something different of a vantage point that you're going to get from Bill. And I think it's great to have new eyes on a team. By the way, he is a championship-caliber college basketball player twice over, and he's one of the great NBA players and would have been one of the top 10 probably had he not had the foot problem. And so the thing that I can tell you is, our coaching staff with the Sox is excited to have him in the clubhouse. Like, there's a chance Bill might talk to the team in some formal setting today because he's such a leader. He's such a smart man. And all of this that he says and all of this that he does and how he acts is just him taking as much joy out of the world as he can. I think it's great.
Jason Benetti, White Sox play-by-play man, joins me here on The Score as we talk about his weekend where he gets to kind of play around with the art a little bit, and Bill Walton will be on deck for tonight's game. I think that of all the sports that you do play-by-play for, this one lends itself to something like this because there is a lot of time in between action on the field, and I've always felt – if you were doing a radio broadcast, I would be a little bit more, I have more trepidation about this because of the importance of you having to describe everything for the person who can't see it. But considering that the pictures are going to be there, to have a legendary storyteller in the booth with you, I think could be a lot of fun and be a different way to consume baseball.
I'm glad you said that because that's exactly it. I mean, the pictures are there. Now, in big moments in a game, if you watch him do a big game in big moments, he is absolutely in it. He loves watching sports. So if we have a close game tonight, I think he's going to be as amped as everybody at home because he likes big-time sports feats. But that's the two words you said there, legendary storyteller, are the essence of baseball broadcasting. And anybody who tells stories, like that's why I'm excited about Mike Schur on Saturday. Because Mike, as a showrunner, tells you stories every week and makes you care about Leslie Knope or Eleanor Shellstrop or Moe Schrute, who he was. Like you care about these people. And by the way, he's a huge baseball fan. So that's the whole goal of these 3 days is people who tell great stories and really do enjoy sports, specifically baseball.
I want to ask you about your regular partner who's off this weekend. Steve Stone has the series off, which is going to allow for Jason to have Michael Schur in, who ran Parks and Recs and ran The Office, and you're gonna love him. He's so funny, and you're right, he's into it too. I want to know, when it comes to your regular partner, what makes Steve so great at his job as an analyst?
He's so, first of all, he is such a savant at seeing things on the field that become future action. When he said, that's why I said in the story that Steve Greenberg wrote about him earlier this year, like, is he psychic? Really great for him. I'm thrilled for him. I almost would rather him just say, hey, I watch a ton of baseball. I know what's going to happen because I see these little things on the field, like the fielder moves half an inch this way, so it's going to be a pitch to the outside corner. He sees all that stuff. And by the way, he does not get nearly enough credit for, you know, I read a lot of things and watch a lot of TV and whatever in terms of sports. He is as well-spoken of an analyst as you could possibly imagine. His understanding of the English language and the ways to navigate it, I mean, he's really fantastic at that, too. And then he can make you laugh with the best of them. Like, his one-liners are top 10 in baseball, not in just analysts, but, like, in people you could hang out with. He's got all of those qualities, which means he's great to sit next to for 3 hours.
His timing's really good, too. It's
Yes, he finds gaps in things that other people don't find, and he beats the audience to the punchline and the analysis quite often, which most don't do.
I agree with that. I think that he's the best analyst in the game. I'm biased. I've grown up watching Steve Stone. I adore him, and whenever he pops up on the score, you know, we had an unbelievable, like, 25-minute conversation back in May, and it left the audience dumbfounded. And I think that that's what makes you guys' partnership so great, is you know what you're doing, so you know how to allow him space. How did that develop, though?
I think it happened pretty quickly. I mean, I think my training at ESPN has been, hey, you might be working with a guy you've never met, so sit down and make a show out of it that seems like you've met 5 million times before and go to lunch every day. And so I sit down with somebody and I think, okay, how can we make this a partnership? And, you know, I tend to think that that's analyst friendly, no matter what the sport, and that's part of the goal. But it's also that our senses of humor and our senses of timing, I think are pretty similar. Now, I don't want to put myself in the pantheon of timing with him, because I haven't done it for nearly as long as he has, but I do think a lot of what we do and how we navigate conversation is the same. And so we end up knowing where each other's timing is headed, and sometimes we'll both see the same punchline and kind of look at each other, and it's like, all right, who's going to go for it? Who's got the restraint today? Neither of us. Okay, here we go.
Are you doing Sunday solo?
Sunday is Mike O'Brien from Saturday Night Live. People may know him as the creator of AP Bio on NBC. He was a cast member on SNL. But if you don't know Mike O'Brien, who is a huge Sox fan, by the way, and is as amped as anybody, like he texted me the other day that he is watching Ivan Nova starts just to identify his cutter. And then I broke it to him that Ivan Nova's not going to pitch on Sunday. And he was like, oh, my gosh. So now I have to go watch other film. But he watches the Sox every night. If you don't know Mike O'Brien, go to YouTube, click Mike O'Brien Jay-Z SNL. He did a digital short where he played Jay-Z. J.K. Simmons comes walking in as Nas. And it is ridiculous and fantastic.
Okay, I will look that up after the show today. That seems like it will be a lot of fun for you. All right, let's get to just a little bit of baseball before I let you go. What's it been like calling White Sox games this year?
There's a lot of hope. And the toughest moments are an evening in Boston when it's raining and Tim Anderson looks like he might not make it off the field. And then Yoan Moncada goes on a tear and he limps off the field. And Carlos Rodon's in the clubhouse now and we have great conversation about who knows what, but it's not about his next start. And Michael Kopech calling in from the cliffs of Arizona rather than being on the mound. there is a ton of hope. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, and I understand Sox fans' frustration. I understand that it hasn't looked exactly as we've wanted at points this year. But then I stop and think how much on the margin every sport is. And when you lose Kopech and Rodon, and you have this sort of luck with Anderson and Jimenez and Moncada, and it's not all luck. I shouldn't say luck. There's some technique there as well in terms of Eloy getting better in the outfield and all of this. But for me, if you have even a couple of those pieces for a little longer this year, and ifs and buts, right, I get it. But I also know how much better the baseball has been this year compared to last year, and I am truly excited about what's coming next. And I hope Sox fans understand that, yes, it's my job to be on TV talking about the Sox and wanting them to win. Yes, absolutely. But I also am not going to get behind fervently something I don't believe in. And Stoney has said something fairly similar. But for me, seeing the young talents and how much they love being around one another, especially those young pitchers helping each other, I'm actually thrilled for next year already. And I would give you a look over there answer if I meant something else.
Okay. I've enjoyed it. I do wonder, like, if the halves were flipped, like how we would feel about things, and if they hadn't struggled out the gate in the second half, how we would feel. But it's been nice, like, even just having, like, watching Nova over the last five starts and seeing competent major league pitching as a starter has made me feel really good about what they could be. What Reynaldo Lopez has done in the second half of the season feels good. And then you add that with Tim Anderson, even though he doesn't walk, still having a .350 on base percentage and hitting his way on base and being a terror when he's out there on base. I agree with you that there is a lot to be excited about, and I'm looking forward to them kind of adding to this thing in the offseason and hopefully making a team that looks more complete.
Yeah, I totally understand that from your perspective and everybody else's perspective too. Like, that's absolutely true that there are going to be pieces that have to be added to the foundation. It's absolutely true. The front office knows that. They've talked about it. And, you know, we'll see where it goes in the offseason. And I hate to say that. I'd like to say, like, yes, the Sox are getting this guy, or yes, like, this is absolutely going to happen. But thinking about the no matter what scenario, right, about the guys who are going to be in camp and the talent that's on the way, I know everybody's pining for Luis Robert, and frankly, so am I. The Sox fan portion of my brain that doesn't turn off. Like, give me that guy. Let's go. Come on. And it's like, okay, well, there are other things that are going on, and, you know, do you want him up at this point and whatever, right? But all of this suggests a core that not only is going to be fun to watch, but absolutely is lovable. Like, how could you, if you're a kid, not love Tim Anderson? How could you, after Eloy Jimenez hits a homer, if you're a kid, see him say, hi, Mom, and have that beaming smile and see how much he loves the game and loves to work at the game, not love that guy? I mean, there's so much to love about Giolito and how much he speaks his mind and his intelligence and Dylan Cease and his spirituality and a pretty deep, smart kid for 23 years old. There's so much in there. And I think this team is, if it plays even a little bit better next year, over 500 into the All-Star break, I think there's a run in this team that people are going to latch on to, and I'm excited for it.
And I'm excited to hear you, Jason Benetti. This guy is amazing. I thank him for being on the show. Tonight, NBC Sports Chicago, 9:07 first pitch, Jason Benetti and Bill Walton are going to be together. This segment is brought to you by Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. Get huge back-to-school savings on every new Buick and GMC truck in stock at Anthony Buick GMC in Gurnee. There are over 400 vehicles available, something for every budget. GMC, we are professional grade. Visit anthonygurnee.com. When we come back, we'll get back into your Cubs misery, and we're going to let you continue to hear from the general manager of the team. Jed said some interesting things about Ben Zobrist and his impact on this team. I want to share that with you next here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
See, Tony, this is what I was trying to tell you about. Like, if you like to hear the mother and father beats of some of our favorite songs, then that mixtape I was telling you about, Music Haunted by the Ghosts of Records Past, Volume 1, solid, man.
I just go to whosampledit.com, and then there it is.
I get it, but... never mind. It's totally fine. Let me get back to the Cubs. I'm Lawrence.
Good effort,
with you.
Though.
I tried, Campy. I'm trying, but it just... at least he has an appreciation for it. It's just I was trying to explain to him the other day the beginning of Mama Said Knock You Out and where it came from. And he, you know, eyes glazed over. Probably doesn't even know who LL Cool J is. Thinks he's just an actor, you know, instead of...
NCIS?
Yes, that guy. Him.
Does Tony know the Isley Brothers?
Tony?
One of them was in the R. Kelly in the Closet one.
Yeah. That's how you know Ron Isley.
Oh, awesome. And he was on Steve Harvey's show.
So you just bring in all the problematic. Okay, all right.
Well.
Totally fine. Back to the Cubs. The Cubs play tonight here on The Score. We will have pregame starting at 5:30 after McNeil and Parkins is over. It's Park in Heron today. Oh, I'm looking forward to talking with Anthony about all sorts of stuff. They had Jed on yesterday. Danny was by himself. And there were a couple things that we took out of it, you know, just because of time and the way that the show is formatted that we wanted to share. And for people who were wondering, well, what is the actual impact of Ben Zobrist? What is the impact of a 37-year-old second baseman? Here's what Jed had to say about that.
I think the performance has been solid. I think he's felt good. Now, obviously, he starts playing again tonight, you know, and so he'll play the weekend in Memphis. And, you know, we've kind of continued to be in contact with him about his rehab, about how he's feeling, but I think it's been positive so far, and hopefully this weekend is another positive step, and we'll kind of, you know, keep reevaluating. And listen, I think it's a, you know, from a baseball standpoint, leaving out the personal, there's a lot of nights where I think we miss those mature at bats, you know, super patient, you know, makes a guy work. You know, he's a part of this cog, of this machine that we've missed. And I think that if things continue to go well and things in his personal life are good and this works out to come back, I think we're all going to be really happy to sort of get him back in uniform and put him in the lineup.
Put him at leadoff.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, his approach never wavers. He sees pitches and gets on base. And even when he's, you know, struggling at the plate, he somehow manages to coax a walk or, you know, get a single and do something to get on base and to spark things. And that doesn't change when he leads off. So, you know, I don't think we know exactly what kind of, you know, day-to-day condition he'll be in it, you know, whether he'll be able to, how often he'll be able to play, like what he'll need physically. But like I said, certainly his presence in the dugout and in the batter's box, I think, is something that will be helpful.
The next 2 weeks for the Cubs, if they can survive it, they should get some pretty decent reinforcements. But you got to survive it. And it starts with tonight in Pittsburgh. Like, that's – you have to stop the bleeding. A sweep would be nice, but I think most people would take 2 or 3. But a sweep would be real nice considering that you got swept in Philadelphia. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West Division champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. One more thing from Jed. Tony and I were going through the interview, and Danny asked a really good question about last year and how this feels a lot like last year. And I'm sure that you're probably going through it too, where you're like, this team is, could they find themselves back in a one game wild card situation, which would be ugly and not fun from a stress standpoint for anybody. Jed Hoyer agrees with you.
I think it's, you know, very early to say that. I mean, one of the things I think is sort of human nature is that you, you were 75% or so through the season. I think you start to think that, you know, this is what the season's all about. You know, there's no way that a different ending is going to be written. I kind of know what's going on. And the truth is we don't, you know, that, you know, at this point last year, you know, Christian Yelich hadn't really caught fire to the extent he did later. The Brewers hadn't caught fire yet. You look around baseball, there's plenty of incredible stories that are written about the last 30 or 40 games of the season. So I still think there's plenty of time to rewrite that script and not feel like an extension of last year. But I do understand, you know, why people would say that. I do feel like it's been a little bit frustrating with our inability to go on the road and extend some of the good feelings. You know, it feels like we go through these great stretches at home where we, you know, go 5-1 or 7-3 or something like that on a homestand. And then you think we're about to get rolling and we get a 2 or 3 game lead. And then we sort of give it back on the road trip. And we've kind of ridden that wave up and down all season. And I mean, that's frustrating for me, for Theo, for Joe. And I know it's very frustrating, you know, very frustrating for the fans as well. So I understand why people would say that, but I do believe in this group. I think that, you know, we have shown at home that we can be a really good team. We just need to do it on the road. And I think if we do that, we can kind of rewrite that script where it doesn't feel like 2018.
You're running out of time. There's 20 games left on the road. You're running out of time. And a loss like yesterday just felt like an absolute gut punch, because of how well things were going for 8/9 of that game. Everything was cool until the bottom of the 9th. You had everything you wanted. You got Anthony Rizzo hitting leadoff, and he hit a home run, something that he hasn't done very frequently over the last 50 games. In fact, going into yesterday, it was 2 home runs in his last 50 games. He hits a home run. Schwarber hits a home run. Almora drives in a run. Bodie, you got your RBIs. You got great pitching from Yu Darvish. And then everything fell apart. I don't know whose responsibility it is to make sure that everything doesn't fall apart in the 9th, but there was a systemic breakdown of the Cubs on all levels yesterday. And it was heartbreaking, because that's a game that you should get out of town feeling good that you won. And now you're in a critical series with the Pirates. Believe it or not, this segment is brought to you by your Chicagoland Papa John's. Papa John's is giving you a free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price and get the second pizza of equal or less value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. The Bears play tonight. We haven't talked about them at all. Chris Emma's going to help me in that regard next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On the score. The Bears play tonight, and it's weird because obviously I'm going to watch a little bit of it, and I'm going to DVR it for the purposes of the show, although you know how I feel about preseason football at this point. And they had this crazy, like, crackling practice on Wednesday that makes me believe that we're not going to see anything of significance.
Gotta love preseason football.
No, you don't. You gotta hate it. And I don't think that they're wrong in doing it that way. I think that having their controlled environment, doing stuff so that other teams can't see what they want to do, and getting a nice thud practice going where they can hit a little bit and maybe in a couple of occasions take someone to the ground. Like, that's, I think that might be more valuable to the Bears at this point. It's about time for McNeil and Parkins on the score. It's also time to get an amazing mortgage rate with your personal Lakeside mortgage banker, Lakeside Bank. It's about time. I know a little bit about the Bears. Chris Emma knows a lot about the Bears.
A lot of bit.
That should be his nickname, a lot of bit. A-L-O-T-T-A-B, capital B-I-T, a lot of bit.
Is that his rap name?
Yeah, that's what we're going with. Chris Emma's new rap name is a lot of bit. Do we have to, like, put a dollar sign in there or, like, a hashtag?
A Z at the end of it, possibly? A lot of bits?
A lot of bits? I mean, yeah, because he's doing bits for us every day. So, okay, a lot of bits is now his new rap name. He's done an incredible job as a correspondent for us as training camp has gone on. He files this report today.
The Bears will take the field tonight at MetLife Stadium for their second game on the exhibition slate, set to play the Giants in East Rutherford. Coach Matt Nagy has already strongly indicated his key players won't see much playing time tonight, if any. That is certainly the case for quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, who should expect to watch Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray lead the Bears offense. As the Bears continue their preseason work, Nagy and Trubisky have found comfort in some bread-and-butter plays. Trubisky explained it this week.
We've got a lot more reps in. When it's the second year in the offense, you kind of know what you really like and what has worked from year one going into year two. So the more you rep a play, obviously, the more comfortable you get with it. And we just have a huge library, but we definitely have our go-to plays. And I think there's more of those just because we're able to get more reps over year one to year two. So we'll just carry those over and continue to get better at the plays. And we got a bunch of new plays that we like as well. So it's just find that balance. It helps our offense when I'm playing fast and the receivers are playing fast and the O-line is just getting up and going, and we're just IDing the defense and playing, and everybody's on the same page.
Tight end Trey Burton has already said he will not be playing during the preseason, but he has seen an increased role during practice. The Bears have stated they expect Burton to be near 100% for week one. The same goes for receiver Anthony Miller, who is recovering from an ankle sprain. The Bears and Giants kick off tonight at 6:30 Central from MetLife Stadium. They will be back on the practice field Tuesday morning at Halas Hall. For continued coverage of the Bears, log on to 670thescore.com.
Chris Emma and Mark Grody will be reporting from New York, and we'll get to see Daniel Jones out there doing the damn thing. We are broadcasting from the culinary studio here, our Hyundai Score Studios. Test drive a new Hyundai, get a $50 reward card. Terms apply. So let's see, what do we call them again? A lot of bits?
Yeah, a lot of bits.
Okay, so capital A, capital B, all one word, a lot of bits is his new rap name.
Here for it. I got to see it in his bio now.
Wait, let me.
He could be a rapper. He could be a cereal. We don't know.
A lot of bits. And Layla is the one who had me download this. So let me just hit it one time for her. A lot of bits. New rap name for Chris Emma. We'll talk with Danny Parkins. His rap name is Park Park. And Hair Wrong. That's just a perfect rap name for Anthony Heron. Hair Wrong.
Park Park featuring Hair Wrong?
Yeah, today it would be that, right? Like, it would be Danny's record and Anthony's doing a feature on it. Wouldn't that be the way it would work?
Yeah. But you can't get outbarred by the feature, though.
Yeah, you got to be careful. It's like back in the day when you let Lil Wayne on your record and then your record became Lil Wayne's record.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you like, oh, well, let me do this song with Eminem. And you're like, oh, now it's Eminem's record. I just got bodied by Eminem.
Yeah, the same thing's kind of happening with Kendrick Lamar now, where people, yeah, Kendrick, you can be on my album, just don't rap. You can sing and do the ad-libs, but don't rap.
This texter got it right. The bits can't be with a Z. The bits has to be with a dollar sign at the end.
That's fair.
I like what you did, 312 texter. So Chris Emma's new rap name is A Lot of Bits. Capital A, Lotta. Capital B, It's. With a dollar sign as the S or the Z. All one word. It works perfectly. I'll talk with Park Park featuring Hair Ron next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
With the bases loaded and one out.
Oh my God.
Deep to right field. Way up there and way out of here. Second deck walk-off home run. Grand slam, Bryce Harper.
Old Crucky with the, oh my God, as soon as the ball was hit because it was absolutely destroyed. And Tony with the Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Mario, okay.
That's when you lose.
It sounded familiar. Like, which game was that?
Next time, I don't know if Tony ever played this game, you might want to go with Duck Hunt.
Oh love yeah. Duck Hunt.
Yeah.
With the dog giggling, you know, at you. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like a curly shuffle kind of sound to it.
I didn't want to rub it in, you know.
Yeah, so you
sure you did it.
So Super Mario was not rubbing it
yeah,
in.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying go all the way with it. Don't half step. You're going to go full step.
What other games had props like Duck Hunt, like pre the Wii? Because the Wii obviously turned the whole thing into tennis, and the controller was more than a controller.
There was the track and field game that had the mat. Right, that was around the same period where you could, like, if you were doing the long jump, you'd pat your feet real fast and then jump off the mat. But then
if you stayed off too long,
you pat the feet real fast and then jump off the mat and wait. You stay in the air. And if you waited that smidge too long, then your player would just, like, fall out in the middle of the air and hit the ground.
Or just jump straight up. That would happen all the time on the long jump. You jump straight up. And the arcade version, you'd have to beat the hell out of that game to get it because it was just buttons and you had to...
Wow. Was it with your feet or your hands?
No, with your hands.
With your hands.
On the arcade version of the original NES, it was the Konami, right? Konami, like track and field. To get your player to go, like you had to hit a combination of buttons. And it was literally like you were doing, like, you would work up a sweat with your player. And then you had to hit the jump button, like, at the exact right time. Or you'd be like,
that's too much for me with video games. I was never trying to sweat while playing video games. Because Dance Dance Revolution was the same thing. You'd see those kids go insane with that stuff, and they'd have, like, mini crowds around them at the arcade.
Now, that's this Millennium Rider was Dance Dance Revolution around in the 90s.
I think it was, like, right at the beginning of the 2000s,
okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Does that sound right? Like maybe 2002?
But I was, like, I was 16, so I could drive and go to the mall, and they still had arcades that you would go to like that. And I'd see those kids, like, man... That would be a great way to get girls and like get them to talk to you. Like a great opening, but then you'd have to, you know, be good at dancing and coordination. So they weren't really.
I mean, you got
to
just follow the instructions on the screen, I guess. I mean, it's kind of giving you the blow by blow for what you got to keep up with.
I know, but the girls in high school were just not impressed with my Miss Pac-Man skills. No, it just didn't translate in the same way.
Can I just say though that I love that a lot of places, like a lot of the casinos in Vegas and Dave and Buster's, I think, I love the giant Pac-Man games that are out
yes,
now.
Yes, awesome.
Where it's basically you're playing almost, it's bigger than you. Mm. And that to me is fun. I'm a sped up Miss Pac-Man guy.
Of course.
That's my favorite one where you're going so fast that you sometimes can just go through a ghost. Like that's, I know Spiegs is really good.
He is crazy good.
Yeah.
He's really, really good.
I'm good at it. I'd love to take a shot at Spiegs, although I think he beat me. I think I may have found someone who's better than him.
Who?
I'm sure it exists.
Alex Brown.
Really?
Yeah. Alex posted a video a while ago where he seemed like he was just kind of messing around. It was like 300,000 points.
See,
like,
I could, if we did a tournament, like a score tournament, and you were allowed to bring in a teammate, I'd bring my wife in as a ringer because she had like the Ricky Schroeder Silver Spoons arcade deal in the basement of her
house.
So her and her brother, her younger brother, would play Miss Pac-Man nonstop. Anybody who puts a high score on a Miss Pac-Man in the city of Chicago, I bet you my wife will take it down.
Okay. Wow. I feel like we need to like make this happen.
And she'll talk mess when she does it. She'll come in real shy and just kind of playing like she's olive oil or something like that. And then as soon as she gets to like whatever they got, level 30 or whatever they're doing, because I don't play it, I'm not any good at it at all, but she will start talking noise like nobody's business.
Spiegs humbled me in a big way our first.
Do you have Miss Pac-Man skills?
I thought I did.
Okay.
And I think I'm pretty good, and I'm good compared to my friends, but I was not good compared to Spiegs. It was our first spring training trip. And we were sitting it was me, Spiegs, and Jay, and, you know, had a cocktail or two. And I was like, let's play a game right now, Miss Pac-Man, $500. And Spiegs was like, let's just play for the tab.
Okay. So
and I'm like, all right, we'll play
so
for the tab.
He knew what you were in for.
I'm like, we'll play for the tab, you coward. And he steps up and, like, three levels in, didn't lose a life. Six levels in, didn't lose a life. Nine levels in, didn't lose a life. And I'm like, oh, no. I bit off more than I can chew again.
Would you have preferred to have gone first?
In hindsight, yes.
Or were you scouting? Were you like, oh, let me see if this guy's got the juice? And
he stepped right up to the machine.
Yeah.
He stepped up with more confidence than I have ever seen him. And he's like really confident on the radio, really confident. If you go see him like in a concert setting behind the mic, I've never seen Speaks as confident as he was stepping up to that Miss Pac-Man machine.
I wondered about that a little bit from the first Bears preseason game. Between Pinheiro and Fry, the fact that Pinheiro goes out there and misses the 48-yarder and really doesn't strike it that clean, if that just gave Elliott Fry that extra little kind of gusto when he went out there for the 43-yarder, like, all right, he's already got one in the books that he's missed. Now I can go out here before we go into the locker room at the half and feel great about what I'm about to do out here. And he did. He struck it clean, split it down the
house
middle.
Money.
Crowd goes wild. It was an odd scene when that happened at Soldier Field because then there was obviously the icing that takes place beforehand. So you got time to kind of take all that in, absorb the fact that it's the 43-yarder. The crowd has a buzz to it and everything. So it was probably the most raucous sort of festive atmosphere after a preseason game one field goal I've ever witnessed in person.
Since we're doing video game stuff, have you seen, and Anthony's like good with movie recommendations and things, have you seen Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah,
I
haven't seen it.
Really good.
Really?
Really good.
Have not seen it.
I think that
Jesse Eisenberg and he's...
I love Jesse
Michael
Eisenberg.
Sarah.
Oh, Michael Sarah, yes. Sorry.
Michael Sarah, yeah. He's... It's.
I can see how you could confuse those.
Oh, very much so.
Absolutely.
Although you confusing Welker and Edelman earlier, I was like, well, we all look alike. All of us wide receivers look alike, Lawrence.
It was super
only the
racist.
Diminutive ones.
Yeah. It was super racist of me to be like, Julian Edelman, no. Wes Welker, no. Danny Amendola.
You're like, I remember when Tom Waddle called out Rex Ryan for his feet. I'm like, no, you didn't. It was Ed McCaffrey.
That this morning was hilarious. Did you see it?
With you're talking about Rex on Get Up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
That was priceless.
It can't be, or Tanny, I guess, is at the board now. We had it all. If people didn't hear it, it was pretty spectacular.
That was Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he played in the NFL, he would have his toenails
removed. Why are we doing this again?
Before the season began, so they wouldn't just get smashed up, and then they would just sort of grow in at their own pace over the course of the year.
This is a morning show.
I understand that.
Okay,
now, most
we
people
gotta quit talking about feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right.
Well, let's not talk about feet.
Daniel Jones.
I was
was going to say. I almost that. I mean,
I can't stay for this. Oh, I can't God, stay for this.
With that, we wrap up what's been a terrific week. Rex, I'll never see you again. The Little League World Series is next on ESPN. Enjoy it all day long.
I'm gone.
Sam Ponder walked off the set.
Obviously, the best part is Rex's line, but to me, 1A or 1B is that Sam Ponder realizing that she was talking about feet as such a disgusting thing next to Rex Ryan. And like, so when he makes that joke, it's like she clicks, like, oh my God, I forgot. Right. You love feet. It's so great.
My 1A, and you have to watch it again, is the grin on Rex's face because he knows he got everybody in the room.
Yeah.
And he's just smiling. And I'm like, all right with me, Rex.
You can hear laughter on the set from off camera. Anytime I ever do a studio show, I just wish there was like a crowd of people there for any time I think I got a great line. So you can actually hear some of the laughter coming from off the set somewhere. I think it enhances things. Pseudo laugh track, like not a real laugh track, but just enough where you get the natural sounds. Yeah, that's all you need. That's all you need. Just so you know someone in person is appreciating what you're talking about.
We are Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX and HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. Anthony and I have never hosted together.
Not once. Well, then you're in for a treat because this guy knows a lot and he's willing to say a lot.
Why isn't he in for a treat?
Well, I mean, it's your show. Like
I'm just messing with you.
Like I said, it's your record. He's the featured artist on it, but he's also like Lil Wayne. You know, your record can become
steal the
his
show.
Record. Real quick.
That's great. I can't wait. I am a huge fan of your work, and I am a huge fan of your grind, man. You did mornings on Big Ten with Sirius with our guy Jason Goff. You're doing afternoons with me, and you're outdressing the room again because you're going to Fox 32.
That was shocking, right?
Yeah, for Bears pre and post. Three shows, three different time parts. That's very good.
Yeah. I passed. I knew my day was going to be full already. They wanted me to do ESPNU radio as soon as I got done with my show from 6 to 9 in the morning. They wanted me to do 9 to 12 as well on ESPNU radio. So you know what? I've done it before, but not when I have like a full evening slated as well. So I decided to pass on that.
And luckily, the Fox studios are literally across the street.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be huge for me this coming season as well. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about what's happening this coming. But yes. It's very, very convenient when I'm here. And then when we get done here today, I'm going to go directly across the street to 32 and get the pregame show in for the Bears tonight.
When you guys do your pre and post game on Fox 32.
There's
another one over on NBC Sports Chicago that people can watch.
Is there?
Little competition right here.
It's all right. I mean, we do okay on that show. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's Lance Briggs and... And
is it fun? You guys have a good time?
We do, actually. We have too much fun.
Yeah.
And can I just say, last week I did post with Ozzy and Frank Thomas. Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself dropping those names.
I mean, those are if you're gonna drop some names, those are the names to drop.
Yeah.
Dude, I thought having fun with my football dudes was sitting there and hearing Frank Thomas stories. Come on.
I'd be down for that.
It was great.
I spent a couple hours doing that. And Frank can still fill up a room, man, too. Just like his physical presence and his personality and everything. I was on a flight. I don't remember. It was probably 2 years ago coming back from somewhere. I couldn't even tell you where. Likely somewhere out west. And Frank happened to be a couple of rows ahead of me. And he got on the plane after I did. So it was one of those things like, oh, I've never even crossed paths with Frank at any point before. It's like, okay, if it happens, then I got to make it a point to, hey, Frank, I'm from Chicago, blah, 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 you know, good to meet you, whatever. It never did quite work out where I could do it without it being awkward. He was in the window seat for some reason. I'd had to reach over somebody to do it. I went to the bathroom at one point specifically just in case. I could lock eyes. Like, we're the two huge black guys on the plane, so there's usually a nod with black guys in public anyway. So especially when we're really big and bald, like, all right, we're going to lock eyes here. But he was asleep when I walked past and came back. So, all right, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep, too. We'll have another opportunity sometime, somewhere.
I'm sure people were like, okay, well, that's Frank Thomas. Obviously, the other guy is an air marshal.
I get a lot of military. A lot of folks assume I'm military. Like, even just checking in for flights at other cities because they tend to know me at O'Hare at this point. I'm there so much during the football season. But when I'm in other towns, I'm like, oh, you need the military discount?
They're just thanking you for your service.
Yes, it has happened frequently over and over. I get military almost as much as football.
because I'm closer to human size now. Like, you know, whatever. 10 years ago, when I was probably 30.
And you're high and tight up top.
Keep it high and tight. And there's probably something about a stern look in my eyes or whatever that gives him that vibe.
I was joking with Jason about this. You're a grown ass man. Like when it's very evident. Like when you walk into a room that you're a grown ass man.
I carry a briefcase with me to prove it.
That's true. And not to say too much, to be like, man, you know, is he really that great? But there's something almost regal about the way that you carry yourself. Are you a prince?
I don't know how to respond to that. I'm very awkward with compliments. But thank you.
All right.
I do appreciate it.
And you suck at radio. And I
gifts.
Mean, what?
Compliments and gifts are like Christmas. I mean, I enjoy it because other people around me enjoy it, but receiving gifts is not something I've ever been very good at.
I'm with you. Yeah. I like the gift giving. I like to see other people's reaction. And I don't know why it's not the reverse, where I can understand that I like to see other people's reactions. I'm sure they would like to see my reaction to the gift that they're going to give me.
All the jewelry and all the stuff.
Yeah.
All of it.
I was talking this morning with Goff about being terrible at birthdays. Like, I have reminders for my parents' birthdays, my wife's birthday, close family members, just because I know there's a good chance it's going to slip completely past my mind if I don't actually have something in my phone jogging my memory that morning, that day. And I want that because I don't really care. Well, I care that it's their birthday, that they feel special about it. I couldn't care less if nobody recognizes my birthday. It's coming up in a few weeks. If I don't get a happy birthday, I won't feel bad about it. It's just, you know, it's a day. I don't mind it. I'm not against it. I'm going to turn 40 this year. I'm not like, you know, I'm not upset about the fact that I'm going to turn 40. It's just,
Sounds like it.
You know, I enjoy each day like it's my birthday.
That's amazing. Facebook has basically turned into a birthday reminder app. That's really all
I use
it for.
That's the main thing I love with Facebook now. It's so
cool. Come after me! Oh, yeah. I'm a man! I'm 40!
Not yet, he isn't.
Working on it.
But soon he will be. I had a friend this week hit me up because they had lost their phone. And so I was like, why are
you up from a payphone then?
Twitter.
Oh.
And I'm like, why are you DMing me? I lost my phone. And it led to a really cool conversation about how many numbers do you have memorized? Ooh. Because when we were younger.
Well, Tony Gill has zero memorized.
He's
obviously got
none.
Right.
It was our whole lives were.
Of course.
In our head.
Yeah. Yeah.
And sure, your circle was a lot smaller. You know, your parents' house, your best friend, maybe the girl you're dating, your grandmother. Like, but I was sitting there like, I have five numbers memorized.
I don't think that I had my wife's phone number memorized pre the proposal.
Well, what year did you first start dating, though?
We dated. Yeah, I mean, we've been together 6 years.
Okay, so, all right, so that kind of makes sense then.
For sure, but I mean,
like, I started dating my wife in 98, so I knew her before I ever had a cell phone. So yeah. her number is still in my head because I knew it as soon as I met her.
Is it the same number? Does she have the same number?
I didn't get a cell phone until, what, 01, I want to say. She didn't get one until probably 03, maybe. We're both dinosaurs like that. So we've had them for a while now, but we knew each other before cell phones were a thing.
Yeah, we had to, like, when we joined accounts and were signing up for stuff and filling out forms for each other, it's like, oh, I should probably know your number.
Do you know her social? Can you quote her birthday when folks are asking?
I got her birthday or phone number. She literally texted me the other day for the last four of my social. I have no idea. I'm sure it's in my email somewhere.
This is the type of quality content that you can expect from Anthony Heron.
I'm going to help him out with something too. That he was tweeting. He had a little bit of a problem in his personal life. I'm going to solve your problem before we get out of here today.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, I need some problem solving.
And then we are guestless except for one potentially walk off grand slam type of guest today.
Oh, so Bryce Harper is going to be on the show.
Yeah, if we get this guest, it's that type of shot.
Oh my god.
So that's all we're doing today, Lawrence. I want to just get to know this man.
Well, he's a good man to get to know. I will say that. I am going to go and rest because I am worn out. So
go rest.
I'm going to go do that and listen to you guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.